Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a shit. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows a name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it. It's time for the truth. Here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
Welcome into the Hank Haney Podcast, Minnesota. Tim Peroshka with you on this Sunday best of edition, the Sunday Sizzle. This first opening clip comes from last Monday's show. Hank reacted to Jason Kokrak's first win on the PGA Tour. His first win in 239 starts in the CJ Cup. You can go to Monday's podcast and hear this entire episode.
All right, so Jason Kokrak wins his first tournament on the PGA Tour, the CJ Cup. Normally, this tournament's played at the bridges or wherever over in South Korea. And it's been a tournament that's been played over there for a few years. Justin Thomas has won it, I think, a couple times. He won it last year. Shot 20 under par, which incidentally was exactly the score, I think, that Jason Kokrak shot was the 20 under par as well. And that is a fact. They played different course, but shot the same score. That seems to be a winning score on the PGA Tour a lot of times. Jason Kokrak, since 2012, you go back to 2012. He's been on the tour 10 years, but go back to 2012, and there was only one player, David Hearn, is the only player that has more starts without a win on the PGA Tour. Jason Kokrak had 230 starts. And David Hearn had 231 starts. And Cameron Tringali, 230 starts. And you got Ricky Barnes at 214. Those are the guys that have had the most starts since 2012 without a win. So Jason Kokrak gets off of that list and wins the CJ Cup. Now, it's a good field. I mean, this is the first tournament that we've had in the wraparound. The guys are playing a little bit now because they got the Masters coming up, and they want to get things going again. So they had a good feel. I mean, Tiger didn't play, but you had pretty much everybody out. No Dustin Johnson because he tested positive for COVID, and had to withdraw. But Rory was there, and Koepka and Rahm, and I mean, they had the whole group. Justin Thomas, Morikawa, I mean, everybody was there. It's a good field. I mean, it's a short field, no cut, but it's surprising with the big names that were there. And I got to put, Shoffley's kind of a big name. He's a top player. He's top 10 in the world. You got to say that's a big player. But you go through the list, and you got Kokrak, Shoffley, Tyrrell Hatton, who's been playing well, but Russell Henley, Taylor Gooch, Joaquin Niemann. Then you got Bubba Watson. Bubba was ranked like 60th or something. Orlando Griffin. I mean, it's kind of surprising. The top 10, Sebastian Munoz, Harris English. There's your top 10, the guys I just listed. Of those guys, the only guy that you would put, you got one top 10 player in the world in the top 10 in this tournament at the CJ Cup. And you can go even farther. I mean, you got Cameron Smith at 11, Poulter at 12, Hovland at tied for 12, Matthew Fitzpatrick tied for 12. You got to get to Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa, both tied for 12. Before you start coming up to names that, you really, I mean, notice. I mean, honestly, I mean, John Rahm is at 17th. Rory finished 21st. He shoots 6 under par. Oh, boy. Keep going down. Keep going down. Koepka, 28th. Ricky Fowler, I mean, a well-known player, but not, you know, obviously hasn't been playing great. He finished 28th. Cantley, 38th. Spieth, 38th. I mean, he just, you know, it's Sungjae Im, 45th. I mean, Justin Rose, 52nd. I mean, this was a good field. Scottie Scheffler, 52nd. Guys that have played good and have been good, you know, Fleetwood, 59th. But my point is, you know, they didn't do a lot. Paul Casey, 69th. Woodland, 72nd. Matthew Wolff started off a horrendous 80 the first round and 77 the last round. So he bookends 80, 77. That's not what you call good. Jason Day played 2 holes on Sunday, had to withdraw because of a bad neck. So you got a big field, big names, but, you know, not a lot of guys showed up. Now, why is that? Well, nobody's really played this golf course. Now, that's something. I mean, and I really feel like when you look at the PGA Tour, you look at it and you got to say, there are horses for courses. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you can just go back in history and this holds true. I mean, Nicklaus won a lot of tournaments on, you know, similar golf courses. And obviously Tiger, you know, Torrey Pines and, you know, Firestone and, you know, Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill, you know, course and, you know, Pebble Beach. I mean, just, you know, everybody plays better at certain courses. It's just the way it is. Well, if nobody's played the golf course, everybody's kind of going blind, except for a few guys. Guys that go to Vegas a lot, guys that play a lot in Vegas. When they go there, they probably have played at Shadow Creek, although they probably haven't played that much. But here's the thing: Jason Kokrak, you can see it on his hat. He represents MGM, so he's got Bet MGM on his hat, which is the app that you can place all the bets on. And I said this the other day, by the way. The golf betting is the number 2, betting sport on it's amazing, really. And at the books, it is. It's the number 2. I mean, you wouldn't think it. I mean, you think baseball. I don't know. You think basketball. You think college basketball. I don't know. You know, what pick a sport. But number 2 is what I've been told. Number 2 is golf. You know, you got the NFL, which by a mile, I mean, you know, a country mile, long mile, NFL. But then the second most bet on sport is golf. And Jason Kokrak representing MGM. So he's played this golf course, Shadow Creek. They said he's played it like at least 20 times. That gives you an advantage because you know where to hit it. You know where you can miss it. That's an important thing people don't take into consideration. Like a lot of times when you play a golf course and you have a caddy or whatever, and the caddy tells you, or you play with some player who's played there before and you haven't played there before, and they'll tell you, hey, this is where you want to hit it. This is where you want to hit it. This is where you want to hit it. I don't really, you know, I can kind of see where I want to hit it. I mean, I've played a lot of golf. I can see where I want to hit it. What I want to know, the information that I want to know when I play a golf course is where can I miss it? What side is it better to miss it on? You know, I mean, it's obvious if there's water on the left, you don't want to miss it left. But sometimes, you know, it's not that obvious. Or you stand on a tee box and you think, you know what, it looks like there's not much room over to the right, but there actually is plenty of room over there to the right. And if you miss it to the right, that's a good place to miss it. I mean, this is how, you know, Bryson DeChambeau won the U.S. Open because, you know, he can't drive at 350 yards in the fairway all the time. And he didn't hit a lot of fairways at the U.S. Open. But what he did do was he missed it on the correct side. So if you look and say, okay, the fairway, like at a U.S. Open or whatever, and they're narrower at the U.S. Open than they are at, or were at Shadow Creek, although the Shadow Creek's fairways are not wide, but you look at it and you say, all right, you know, the fairway's 30 yards wide, but if I miss it left, I'm okay. And over to the left is, you know, I've got 20 more yards over there. So really my fairway's 50 yards wide if I just go from the right edge of the fairway all the way to where I can miss it on the left. And that's the way players play. So the point of all this is that Jason Kokrak has played the golf course more. So he knows a little bit more where to miss it. The other thing is, you know, guys don't, they don't go out there and play practice, 10-hour practice rounds and study and stuff. You know, they'll play a couple practice rounds, maybe. Some guys just, you know, play the pro-am on Wednesday if there is one, you know, nowadays, but they play on Wednesday. Maybe they play 9 holes or something on Monday. It used to be on the tour, people would play practice rounds. The players would play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday practice rounds. I mean, that's just what it was. Now, you know, guys don't really do that. I mean, a lot of times they don't even come in till Tuesday. They'll play 9 holes on Tuesday, play the pro-am on Wednesday. And, you know, they're going off their experience of playing the golf course for 10, 15 years in a row. You know, guys played the tour for 10 years, like Kokrak has. If you play the tour for 10 years and you play at the same event every single year for 10 years, you know, maybe you haven't made the cut every time, but let's just say on average, you've played that golf course 5 times a year for 10 years, you've played that golf course 50 times. So you got an idea of where to miss. And you also have an idea of how you can read the greens, because when you look at the pin placements at PGA Tour events, like for instance, when they go to, you know, Augusta, when they go play the Masters, you know where the pins are going to be. I mean, rarely will you hear a player say, oh, that was a new pin I haven't seen before. I mean, they don't know what day the pin's going to be over in each particular spot. Although some you do, I mean, you kind of know where the pin's going to be on 18 at Augusta on Sunday, because that's right where the pin is, and that's right where it was when Marco Mira, you know, won the Masters and made his putt, you know, on that 18th hole. I mean, you know right where the pin's going to be. You know where the pin's going to be on number 12 at Augusta on Sunday. It's just going to be, you know, front right. That's just where they put the pin. And, you know, it's going to bring the water into play. But if you've played the golf course a lot of times and you've played in tournament conditions, you have an idea of what the pin placements are going to be like, and you have an idea of what the putts do, because it's memory. I've often said that people maybe, you know, they talk about how people are great greens readers, but most great greens readers are really great greens rememberers. There's a difference. They can remember the way the putt goes. Well, you don't have any of that when you're playing a golf course that's brand new to a player. So they haven't seen it before. And they're out there, you know, kind of going, you know, blind. So the golf course played great. The greens putted great. But, you know, you're not going to be just reading the greens quite as well as you would be if you've played it. Well, Jason Kokrak's played it 20 times. He's got an advantage, you know, he's there plus this week. So, you know, by the time the week's over, he's played it 25 times in his career, and other players have played it 5 times in their career. That, you know, 6 times, 8 times, whatever. It's a big difference between playing a golf course 25 times and playing it 5 or 6 or 8 times. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to hit the shots. It doesn't mean you don't have to hit the putts. It's just it just is an advantage. So it's interesting that Jason Kokrak wins his first tournament on the PGA Tour, and he does it on a golf course that really he's the only one in the field, or maybe him and a couple other guys. But I would have to say this. He's played that golf course because he represents MGM. He's played that golf course more than anybody else in the field.
This second clip comes from Tuesday's podcast. So Hank and I, we reacted to the insane driving distances that we've seen so far early on in the 2021 season. And we compared those driving distances to 2010 and 2000. You can go to Tuesday's podcast and hear this entire episode.
All right, I want to talk about some of this data. Now, here's the other side of the coin. This is some of the statistics driving a distance. And this is, you know, USGA Distance Insight Report. And I'm not sure when this report was done. Who knows? You know, you never know. But average distance for all golfers, 217 yards. Handicap less than 6, average distance, 245 yards. 6 to 12 handicap, distance, 223 yards. 13 to 20 handicap, 207 yards. 21 plus handicap, 190 yards. See, these are the people that cannot afford to hit the golf ball any shorter at all. This is my point. Okay, there's 99.9% of the people fall into this category that I just talked about, which is 245 yards to 190 yards, and on average, 217 yards. And 99.9% of the people are falling into that category. But everybody makes this big deal about the pros, the 0.1%. Now, listen, if they can roll the ball back just for the longer hitters, and not touch the average player, because somebody hitting it 217 yards doesn't want, I mean, I'm telling you, they don't want to hit it 215 yards. They just don't. They don't want to give up any distance. But if they can do that and roll it back for the, you know, the long hitters, then, you know, that's, you know, it's fine. I mean, I don't have any problem. Roll it back, whatever. I think you roll the ball back. I really believe this. And we'll have to see when it happens, because I think it is going to happen. I think Gary Player's right. I think it's going to happen sooner or later. When they roll the ball back, and I think Bryson DeChambeau pushed him over the edge on this. I mean, they were going to, you know, they wanted to roll the ball back, but boy, this is now he's just like, you know, it's so obvious now that, I mean, this is just out of control how far these guys are hitting it, and it's going to get more. But I think when you roll the ball back, I feel like it's really going to be the haves and have-nots. I think the shorter hitter is going to be hurt. I really do. I think the shorter hitter is going to be really, really, really hurt. There's been some good comments on Twitter by Brando Chambly about all this distance stuff. Have you checked out any of that, Tim?
Yeah, here's one comment from Brandel. So a follower of Brandel's on Twitter, his name is John Carroll. He tweeted at Brandel saying, "We have gone way too far with technology. Drivers have way too much forgiveness. Tour players should be playing smaller drivers and different balls." To which Brandel replied, "Bryson DeChambeau had the same clubs last year and was 20 yards shorter. What technology made him 20 yards longer this year? Hard work and skill to gain an advantage over the competition is what we pay to see." So Brandel is supporting Bryson DeChambeau's strive and work ethic to get to where he's at. Another tweet from Brandel Chambly, he says, "DeChambeau did something that has never been done. He drove the seventh green at TPC Summerlin 361 yards to 14 feet. On Saturday, he did it again, 373 yards to 26 feet. One can criticize his power, as Matthew Fitzpatrick did today, but length and accuracy is what golf is all about."
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you argue with that? I mean, he, like you said, he's using the same clubs last year, but wait till he shows up at Augusta with the 48-inch driver and starts hitting that thing 400 yards. Those guys are going to crap themselves. I mean, they're not going to know what to do. They're going to be buying more. They're going to buy all of Augusta Country Club so they can move every hole. It's just going to drive them nuts. And it's not just the driver. I mean, it's the irons too. I mean, he's just hitting his short clubs into everything. It just makes the game different. I mean, I don't know. It really does. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, Brandel Chambly makes good points. He says, "I admit I enjoy watching somebody mix science and art perfectly to transfigure their game and perhaps the sport," which, you know, I think that's what's happened. I really do. I mean, you know, he's changing the way people look at it. When I go on Twitter and I looked on last week and I see Roy McIlroy out there trying to see how far he can hit it, and I see Dustin Johnson, you know, Dustin Johnson barely swings at it. I mean, if he turns it up, oh my gosh. I mean, he can send it. I mean, these guys that are long hitters, they're not, you know, the only one that's swinging for the fences is Bryson DeChambeau. Nobody else is swinging. Finau doesn't swing for the fences. Rory doesn't swing for the fences. DJ doesn't swing for the fences. Koepka doesn't swing for the fences. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau leads the tour in distance because he's the only one that swings for the fences. If he was joined by other players in swinging for the fences, I can promise you that Bryson DeChambeau would not lead the tour in distance. He is not as quick I don't care how many weights he lifts or how many protein shakes he drinks or whatever he does. He is not the athlete that Dustin Johnson is. I'm just telling you, he's a great athlete. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just telling you, he's not the athlete Dustin Johnson is. He just isn't. If Dustin Johnson wants to send it, and it's not just Dustin Johnson. Finau, they say he's come on Twitter a couple times and he took the full backswing. You know, he's got this half swing he takes. Looks like he's hitting a pitching wedge. If he gets on there and takes a full swing, it's ridiculous. He's so much longer than Bryson DeChambeau. It's not even close. It's a joke. And Matthew Wolff, even at the U.S. Open, Matthew Wolff was hitting it by. DeChambeau didn't finish first in distance at the U.S. Open, did he? I mean, what did he finish there?
Seventh.
Yeah. Okay. Seventh. I mean, he's not the only guy that's sending it out there, but he's not. He's not the longest hitter. If these other guys want to step it up, it's not. And I think they're gonna. I really do. I think they're gonna.
Martin Laird finished the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open 15th in driving distance, driving at 323 yards. So maybe there's just something about the elevation in Vegas that makes people drive the ball further, because you take Laird's driving distance in Vegas and he would be first on tour in 2020. So I don't think 365 yards is an accurate representation of how far Bryson is actually going to drive the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, but still 320 yards is like, wow. I mean, it used to be, I don't know, back in the day, I mean, yeah, I can remember. I mean, you know, this is a back in the day, but I can remember, you know, the first time somebody averaged over 300 yards. Now, what is it? I mean, how many guys on tour? Let's look this up right now. How many guys on tour right now after whatever, you know, amount of tournaments they've had this year? You know, how many guys are averaging over 300 yards in driving distance on the PGA Tour? What's that number right there?
I got 180.
Come on.
That's what I have right now, yeah.
108, what?
2021, Graham McDowell is ranked 180th.
Oh my God. 180 players?
Graham McDowell is ranked 180th in driving distance, and he drives the ball 300.1 yards through four rounds in 2021.
Oh boy, if you I mean, if you round it up, I'm looking at it now, and like you got these guys at Brian Harmon. The guy's 5'6". He's averaging 299.6. Oh my gosh. It's just, can you imagine if you're sitting back there at, I don't know. I mean, you can't, what did these guys hit it back in the day? I mean, Jim Furyk's 286 yards. I mean, the game of golf. And Jim Furyk is, you know, I mean, Steve Johnson's favorite player, you know, great player. Steve Stricker averaging 280 yards. These guys have had, you know, Furyk especially had a credible career. Stricker's had a great career. I mean, these guys couldn't, they would not have those careers today. They wouldn't. There's just not. Chad Campbell's 340th on the PGA Tour this year, 251 yards. I don't know. I mean, maybe he just hit some bad drives on those 251 yards. I mean, are you kidding me? That guy won PGA Tour events. And I never really thought he was like a super short hitter. I mean, he's 46, but I mean, he's won four PGA Tour events. He didn't win it much, hitting at 256 yards now. I mean, the game of golf has passed people by, and guys that did win are even, let's take it a step further than winning, because you could win on a specific golf course. But guys who had really good careers, I mean, Luke Donald made it to number one in the world. I think about Justin Leonard, who you know, is a commentator now, but I mean, he was a great player. You know, Ryder Cup hero. I mean, he couldn't play today. No chance. I mean, he hits the ball so low. It's ball so short. You can't. I mean, if he played at Colonial and he played at Harbor Town and he played a couple other places and he could scratch out a, you know, a career. I'm not saying he couldn't do that, but I'm just saying, you know, Luke Donald, he's not, you can't, there's not anybody making it to number one in the world, hitting it that short. There's no way. It's just a different era. Totally different. All right, let's take another break. We'll be right back on the Hank Haney podcast, reminding you to get your Voodoo Pain Relief Cream free, 2-week supply. All you got to do is go to voodoopainrelief.com and you'll see the box right on the front. You've heard me talk about it. Read the reviews. They're phenomenal. Arthritis pain, muscle soreness, joint pain, whatever it is, get your free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. You can do it anytime. Right there. It's right there on the front page, voodoopainrelief.com. We'll be right back on the Hank Haney podcast.
This third clip comes from Wednesday's podcast. Hank and I previewed the Zozo Championship at Sherwood Country Club, a place Tiger Woods has been very dominant in the past. You can go to Wednesday's podcast and hear this entire episode.
We got the Zozo Championship. We're going to preview it. They're playing at Sherwood Country Club. Now, this is the tournament that Tiger won last year over in Japan. They've moved it over to the United States for 1 year. They're playing at Sherwood Country Club, which is the course that Tiger used to dominate the his tournament at, which was the Target World Challenge. Well, it was the Williams World Challenge, and it was the Target World Challenge, and the Chevron World Challenge. Then it was the Chevron World Challenge presented by Bank of America. Then it was the Target World Challenge presented by Countrywide. Then it was the Target World Challenge presented by Williams. Then it was the Northwestern Mutual World Challenge. I mean, this tournament had a lot of names. That was a World Challenge presented by Northwestern Mutual. And anyway, all those years they played at Sherwood, like 12 years, and Tiger finished second 5 times, won it 5 times. So, it was obviously, it's the little short field event, and this event has now become the Hero World Challenge, which I just saw yesterday. That's been canceled, Tim. Did you see that?
I saw that. That's a big bummer.
Yeah, because that was the free points for everybody. 16 guys, you just get free world ranking points for doing nothing. Then after you win it, Rich Lerner and all the boys at Golf Channel go on and predict that you're going to dominate Sanzi. And, all the guys over there at the Golf Channel predict that you're going to dominate the tour next year because you won the Hero World Challenge at Albany on a golf course with no rough and par fives everywhere and drivable par fours. And that, based on that performance, beating 15 other players, you're going to dominate the PGA Tour next year and win every single tournament like they predicted with Ricky Fowler, and he hasn't won since. So that's going to be a bummer that they're not playing that big one. That was the one when we learned. Maya Koba is going to be the same week, which as Jeff Shackford pointed out, should have been a clue when Maya Koba was scheduled the same week as the Hero World Challenge that there was going to be no Hero World Challenge this year. So that tournament's off. So anyway, they're back to the Zozo. They're playing it at Sherwood, just outside of L.A. You know, really a huge, huge plus for Tiger because he's just dominated this golf course. One of the courses he's dominated, no doubt about it. Now, short field event, I get it. And he dominates short field events anyways, but he dominated this event for years and years and years. Every time when I was coaching Tiger and we played there, I thought, okay, this is a done deal. I mean, he's going to win this tournament. This is just an absolute given. Yeah, a lot of holes where he didn't have to hit driver. So that was kind of eliminated. It really fit his eye. The par fives, he seemed to always hit good drives on the par fives. You know, maybe he didn't hit that many fairways, but he did it on the right holes, and the other holes he could play around it with a 3-wood or an iron. And of course, his iron play was so stellar. And then when he knows the greens, and you know, he's played there many, many times at Sherwood and doesn't even have to bend over and read a putt. He just knows which way it's going to go. When he knows the greens, then it's pretty much, you can book it. So this is a big advantage for Tiger. at playing there. How many people in the field for Zozo?
78 players are playing this week.
Right, and a good field. I mean, this is because you know people are getting ready for the Masters, so I assume this is most everybody who played last week at the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek, wouldn't it be? I mean, pretty much the same field, right?
Yeah, a lot of the top players are playing. So Dustin Johnson WD'd again with he had COVID last week, so he had a WD. So he WD'd again this week.
He's still on the COVID. I haven't had a report on him and whether he's really sick or just what he, you know, he just didn't test positive or whatever. Negative. He didn't have I guess you have to have a certain amount of negative tests before you can go. So he's out. Wow. And that's kind of a home course for him too, because Paulina Gretzky, the Gretzky's used to live there at Sherwood. So he's played there many, many, many times. That would have been a big course for him. Wow. Okay. He's out. That's too bad.
But we do have a lot of headliners this week. So we got John Rahm, Xander, Justin Thomas, Rory, Colin Morikawa, Webb Simpson, the hoodie, T-Roll Hatton. He won in a hoodie. Patrick Reed, Bubba Watson, Tiger, Matthew Wolf, Hideki Matsuyama, Patrick Cantlay. Sliced Bread, Tony Finau's back after his COVID positive. So a lot of great players this week.
But what do you think about the hoodie, by the way? You're a big fashion guy. I mean, you're a really fashion forward guy, stepping out, got a huge closet full of clothes, always the latest trends, black belt with the creases in it from high school, brown belt, black socks. What do you think about the hoodie? What do you think?
I fully appreciate and support the hoodie by Tyrrell Hatton. I'm all about being comfortable on the golf course. So the cargo shorts, I am the endorser for cargo shorts. And Tyrrell Hatton is the endorser for the hoodie on the golf course. I absolutely love and appreciate it. Him going for comfort makes me feel more comfortable on the golf course.
Oh, man. I was speaking of the cargo shorts, I was reading about the new Cowboys center. He's from Wisconsin. His name's Tyler something. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I need Steve for that, but Bardsky or something like that. Anyway, he's supposed to be a really good center. And the Cowboys' last center retired, Travis Frederick. He was an All-Pro, and he had to retire because of autoimmune disease. But he used to wear cargo shorts. Okay, here's the cargo short story, and Zach Martin, who's the Cowboys' All-Pro guard from Notre Dame, he was asked about Tyler, and he said, well, he comes walking in the first time we see him with cargo shorts, the same like kind of cargo shorts that the other center had. He said it must be a Wisconsin thing. So maybe it's a Wisconsin-Minnesota kind of thing, this cargo. So, except those guys are weighing in about 3 bills, Tim. You're about $1.50.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but the cargo shorts are big with the offensive line, the centers from Wisconsin. They're big on the cargo shorts. Just so you know about that fashion statement.
Tiger loves cargo shorts, so I mean, yeah, well, it's just a big thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, we're gonna make some picks. Talk about the tournament when we come back on the Hank Haney podcast. Let me remind everybody to subscribe to my free instructional emails. F-R-E-E, free. All you have to do is go to HaneyUniversity.com and you can register, subscribe right there. You'll get the free emails in your inbox every day. Go to HaneyUniversity.com to do that. We'll be right back on the Hank Haney Podcast.
This last clip comes from Thursday's podcast. So Hank reacted to an article written on PGAtour.com about Tiger Woods being highly motivated for the Zozo Championship, which is just a few weeks ahead of the Masters at Augusta National. Hank sounded off on this article. You can go to Thursday's podcast and hear this entire episode.
Tiger played at Sherwood. And he played there 12 times, and 10 of the times he finished first or second. 5 wins and 5 second place finishes. And one of the wins was, by 7 shots. Another win by 4 shots. Matter of fact, as I was looking back and I was looking through the history of playing at Sherwood, because that's where they're hosting the Zozo Championship this year, which is, of course, the tournament Tiger won last year in Japan. They moved the tournament to the United States. They're playing at Sherwood Country Club. So this is a great spot for Tiger to kind of get going before Augusta. And well, I'm kind of reminiscing about the tournaments that Tiger played in at Sherwood, when he played in his Target World Challenge. The years that I was coaching him, he won in 2004, beat Padraig Harrington by two shots. 2005, he didn't win. Luke Donald won. I don't know what happened that year. Probably my fault. But anyway, 2006, that was when Tiger was really starting to play. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. He won that by four shots over Jeff Ogilvy. 2007, he won by seven shots over Zach Johnson. 2008, he didn't play. Remember, that was when he won the U.S. Open, then had the surgery on the knee, torn ACL, stress fracture, so he didn't play in 2008. 2009, he didn't play because that's when he hit the fire hydrant. Hit the fire hydrant in November. The Chevron World Challenge was played in December, so he didn't play. But he's got quite a record at Sherwood. I mean, he just tears it up there. So that's where they're playing this year for the Zozo Championship. And I'm reading this article. This is by Cameron Moffitt, I think his name is. Moffitt, something like that. Cameron Moffitt. Cameron Moffitt. I mean, I don't know these guys. I've seen these guys for years, but I don't know who they are. Anyway, Cameron Moffitt. And he says Tiger Woods would normally be a good bet to successfully defend at this year's Zozo Championship. He has a knack for dominating tournaments he likes. Well, that's true. You know, when he used to win all the time at Bay Hill, and he won all the time at Firestone, he won all the time at Torrey Pines. And, you know, a lot of players do that, but Tiger definitely does that when he likes a golf course and has a good feel for it. He's going to be tough there. That's just the fact. So he liked the tournament in Japan, the course, fit his game, fit his eye. And he won there last year, his 82nd win on the PGA Tour. So this article goes on and it says, he talks about dominating tournaments he likes. And he says, and he'll be highly motivated. Now, this is where I kind of stopped and thought about this. I'm like, okay, he'll be highly motivated. And I'm like, first off, how does Cameron Moffitt know this? And then I'm thinking, when was the last time Tiger Woods looked highly motivated? I mean, I know he won the Masters last year, but I mean, I've said he's going to win majors. I still think he's going to win another major. He's got so much experience. He's been such a great player. He's going to be at the right place at the right time. And if he has an opportunity on the weekend, I don't care what anybody says, nobody knows how to close a deal better than Tiger Woods. No one. And he's going to be at the right place at the right time and do it. But Tiger has played seven tournaments. He played seven tournaments last year on the PGA Tour. One of them was the Zozo Championship. So this was last, you know, it's the wraparound season. So this is his last fall. And he played three events this year. You know, he'll have played three events. So and he's talking about adding maybe Houston to play another term before the Masters. But that if he doesn't, he'll play the U.S. Open, the Zozo, and the Masters, and that'll be it. So he'll have played 10 events this year. Now, he's got a lot of excuses. Everybody can throw the COVID excuse out there. And I'm just, you know, I'm not going to play because of COVID. I mean, what's really happened bad on the PGA Tour because of COVID? I mean, they had like, you know, 10 people test positive. I don't know of anybody that's really gotten really sick. Dustin Johnson has it now. Now, he's not playing this week at Zozo, so maybe he's gotten sick. But last I heard, he wasn't even really feeling any symptoms. I don't know. Maybe he had a little cold or something. I don't know. But people have been playing. People have been playing in tournaments. I mean, you could stay home. I'm just saying it's an excuse that people will have and they can use if they want it. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to play because of COVID. Or, you know, I've got kids now and I want to, you know, spend time with, which is fine. That's a great, you know, it's a great reason, a great excuse. And that excuse is always out there. It's always available. You can always, you know, throw out. I mean, it's just like, and nobody is ever going to, like, nobody's ever going to question. There's certain things people don't question. They're not going to question when you say, I'm not going to play because of COVID. They're not going to question when you say, I've got kids and they take up more time. They're not going to question when you say, you know, you're injured. I can't practice as much because of my back, my knees, whatever. You know, they give you a pass on the PGA Tour. The media does. They give you a pass when you say you're changing your swing. You're working on some changes. When you get a pass for a period of time on that, because they keep making excuses for you and saying, well, he's working on changes. And, you know, those are about the only things you get passes for. But you got that hanging out there. My point is this. When was Tiger last highly motivated? Now, I can remember back to 2006, 2007, when he was, you know, messing around with this Navy SEAL stuff, and he wasn't highly motivated then. He was like talking about, hey, I might be done. And maybe the motivation came back a little bit to try, you know, after, you know, the fire hydrant and trying to get back. But I just when people assume that he's highly motivated, he wants this one so bad, like this guy says in this article, you know, he wants to get to number 83. I feel like he's at 82 wins. He's tied Sam Snead. 83 would give him the record. I just think he feels like it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to get to that record. So somewhere, sometime, he's gonna win another tournament. I don't know if that has him highly motivated. If he was highly motivated, wouldn't he have played more than seven times and just, you know, once? You know, what's he played? Seven times in the last year, and then he's played once this fall, U.S. Open. I mean, if he was really that highly motivated, I mean, I don't see it. I mean, I must be you know, missing something on this highly motivated stuff. But even if he was highly motivated, and he has a great record at Sherwood, you still have to hit the shots. You still have to hit the shots.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this Sunday Sizzle Best of Edition, highlighting the best clips from the previous week. Take care. Stay safe. Follow all of us on Twitter. At Hank Caney, at Great Predictor 1 for Steve Johnson, and at Tim Perochka for me, Minnesota Tim Perochka. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
The Hank Caney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.